In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Do you wish us to leave you while we have no excuse for God? I swear to the unity of God that with the every last strength that I have in my body, I will fight against those people. Even if I don't have a sword or a spear, I will throw stones at them. I will die 1,000 times and revive for another 1,000 times. I will die again for you. I won't leave you, so I can prove to God that after Muhammad, his household won't be alone. But what can I do? I only have one life to give, and that's nothing compared to my master's dignity. These words were the words that Muslim ibn Usajjah had said about his master's dignity. When Imam Hussein sat with his companions, he told him to forget about his allegiance and take advantage of the narc, so that they would be able to save their lives. Zuhair said, if it was meant to be, we will die and revive for 1,000 times so that we can decrease the number of danger. We would do it for you and your family with an open arm. They all said loyal statements to Imam Hussein and expressed their devotion to him. They said, oh, the son of Fatima, we will die and we won't have any favor over you, for it is all only a duty and nothing else. We will fight with you, even though we are at our weakest point. Unlike other leaders and masters, Imam Hussein said to his companions, I will die tomorrow, and if you don't leave, you will die tomorrow too. They said, oh, the grandson of the Messenger of Allah, we are thankful of God for giving us an opportunity to assist our greatest Imam and die in his path. That night was the same night that Qasim, the son of Imam Hassan, said to Imam Hussein, dying with you is more sweeter than honey. Imam Hussein ordered his companions to set up the tent near each other and take every precautionary steps for the war for tomorrow.
How can we forget Zainab? Zainab, how can we forget? Like her pain no one's got, and no one will ever get. We should learn from Zainab. We should learn from Zainab.
For the last time, Ali Akbar left to get water. Just like his uncle Abbas, they drank from that water and washed their clothes, the clothes that they were going to die in it. At that night, the 9th of Muharram, moonlight of the 14 unfailable men, and the moonlight of Bani Hashim, in other words, Abul Fazl Abbas, was guarding the tents of Imam Hussein against Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's soldiers. Imam Hussein was whispering to himself, saying, oh life, how disloyal you are. You chant with your friends day and night while you are disloyal to them. Everything is in your way. And you changed everyone likewise. Everything is in the hands of God, and everything will go to the place where I am going to go tomorrow. Zainab al-Kubra, who was nursing Imam Sajjad, heard him and said to him, "Oh brother, what are you talking about? What are you saying?" Imam Hussein was about to cry. He stopped himself and said, "My dear sister, please be patient. The time that I am going to die is the time when I will be most in relief." Zainab al-Kubra became impatient. She started hitting herself until she fainted. Imam Hussein rushed toward her and poured water on her face and brought her to conscience. They started talking to each other.
Zainab, how can we forget? Like her pain, no one's got, and no one will ever get. How can we forget Zainab? Zainab. Her pain, no one's got, and no one will ever get. We should learn from Zainab. We should learn from Zainab.
This is what they had said to each other. My dear sister, please be patient. I beg of you, ask God to give you the power. Just remember, everything is from Allah, and everything will return to Allah. And accept this fact, that everyone who is valuable to me, including my grandfather, my mother, my father, and my brother, have left. And now it's my turn to leave. Please be patient, I beg of you. Don't mourn and cry like other women when they lose their loved ones. Imam Hussein's words ended. Zainab was determined and consigned again. Therefore, he took her to his son, Imam Sajjad, and stayed with him for a while. It was by God's choice that Zainab should stay in the captivity so that she would protect humanity, justice, and not to let these moments pass by, and to save Hussein. The overwhelming memory of that night till the day of martyrdom stayed with her, and it was obvious in her face she was suffering. That night, Imam Hussein, along with companions, were praying and chanting with their Lord. Imam Hussein gave a speech. It was so beautiful that everyone became excited. It was as if the facts of the angels of heaven were being revealed. He said, "God has said, disbelievers shouldn't think that we gave them opportunities to stay well off for long, but we gave them the chance to gather their sins, so that at the time of suffering and agony will be punished." Elsewhere, God has said, "The irreligious men will do whatever they want to the religious people." The situation goes on until the pure-hearted are separated from the darkness and evil.
Like it, nothing is compared.
compared, how can I say that others would be living scared? She went through so much grief, like it nothing is compared. Compared, how can I say that others would be living scared? Scared they will be when they stand, shaking with the guilt they share, sharing every
some
piece
ridiculed
of
and mocked God's sign, and utilized the speech that was given by their Lord to express their ill intentions and ill deeds. Someone under the name of Abdullah ibn Shumayr, who was against Imam Hussein, ridiculed it and called Imam Hussein and his companions the good army against the bad army. And he swore the God. Urayr turned to Abdullah and said, "You are impute and sinful. You call yourself religious while you are against the grandson of the Prophet." That night, everyone was praying to Allah, and their whispers was echoing through the desert. It was so lovely and beautiful that it forced some of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's men to escape and join Imam Hussein's caravan. It has been said Imam Hussein had fallen to a short sleep. When he woke up, he said, "I dreamt a few dogs attacked me. One of the dogs was a colorful dog. I bet the one who will kill me is that colorful one." It has been quoted that it looked a lot like Shimr. Imam Hussein continued, "I've also dreamt of my grandfather. He told me, 'My grandson, you are the head martyrs of all of Muhammad. The angels will be so happy to see you. Don't hesitate and come to us. We are going to have a feast.'"
Ayub's patience is so great. Zainab's patience is greater, greater than Prophet Yaqub's. Zainab's life was much harder, harder than the Mount Yathbul. Zainab's heart is much stronger. She's the daughter of Haydar. Zainab, how can we forget? How can we forget?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. We were talking about some of the traits that caused the people on the side of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and Yazid to be there and to commit the crimes that they did. The past few sessions we spoke about nifaq. Tonight, I want to talk about another trait that caused the brutalities and the cruelty that we've heard of on the day of Ashura, that caused the enemy to cut off the water on the 7th of Muharram. And after then, the companions would have to fight to get water. that caused them to cut the water off, not just from men, but from women and children. A trait that caused them not to even have mercy on a six-month-old baby. A trait that caused them not to have mercy on dead bodies. A trait called qaswa, cruelty and hard-heartedness. To have a hard heart, that when it sees a child, a baby, going unconscious because of not having water, it doesn't feel any passion whatsoever. This is called qaswa. This is a trait that we find tracks of and signs of on the day of Ashura and on the plains of Karbala. This is a very dangerous trait, brothers and sisters. Something we want to stay away from, so that maybe these scenes would move us and keep us from committing such acts. The opposite of qaswa is to be soft-hearted, to weep, to cry, to feel passion when you see things. What causes qaswa? How can I stay away from qaswa and hard-heartedness and cruelty? One of the causes of qaswa is the repetition of sin. When someone commits sin and continues committing sins, and they don't repent, they don't accept that they've done wrong, they don't acknowledge that, they continue committing sin and continue and keep on committing sin. This is one of the ways that this trait becomes embedded in our hearts. To stay away from this, one of the ways is obviously repentance. But I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about something that is related to these nights and days. One of the ways to stay away from cruelty is to weep, to shed tears. We have in our hadith numerous occasions that the Imams have wept and shed tears. In Islam, this is a good thing. It is good to cry. Not for worldly aspects, no. For the hereafter. It's been narrated that Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullahi Alayhi, when he was in Kufa, one morning after the Fajr prayer, he stood up and faced the people and started talking about the good pious people that lived at the time of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said that they were so pious, they would pray so much during the nights, that they would be standing on their feet in Qiyam, reciting surahs, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so long that one leg would get tired, they would lean on the other. That would get tired, they would lean back on the first. And yet they would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he cried, remembering these people, and he made the people cry with him crying. Crying is good. That's one of the ways that we stay away from cruelty. One other thing that we've been encouraged to cry for is Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi. We've been told to cry, to make others cry. If I don't feel like crying, to show at least that I'm trying to cry. Put my head down. Try to cry. we want to stay away from cruelty, if we want to be such that we would never ever reach a point where we would feel it okay to throw an arrow at a six-month-old baby. If we want to do that, we should cry. Cry for Imam al-Hussein. Crying for the Imam, according to some hadith, every tear that is shed, the sins of the people are forgiven. That doesn't mean you all of a sudden become a good person. You have to try from then on. What you've done in the past is forgiven. But the other effect of this crying and weeping is that your heart would not be hard like a stone. You would have feelings, you would have passion, you would feel sad when you see those scenes. And that would keep us from committing sins like those that were committed on the day of Ashura. Let's weep from the Imam, let's weep for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Amirul Mu'mineen did. These weepings cause us to stay away from Zainab.
We should learn from Zainab. We should learn from Zainab. We should learn from Zainab.
Ayyub's patience is so great. Zainab's patience is greater than Prophet Yaqub. Zainab's life was much harder than the Mount Yalmul. Zainab's heart is much stronger. She's the daughter of Haydar. Zainab, how can we forget?
We should learn from Zainab. We should learn from Zainab. We should learn from Zainab.
So that we never end up on the opposite side of Imam al-Hussein and commit those acts of cruelty, to chop off the hands of Abbas. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. On the day of Ashura, there came a time when the Imam looked to his right and left, and he saw that there were no companions. There was no one to help him, and he had to go and fight. After a few battles, he came to say goodbye to his family. He came to say, O Zainab, I'm leaving you. I won't be back with you. He came to speak to his wife that I'm leaving you, to say goodbye to his children. When he came to do that, he saw his child, Ali ibn al-Asghar, in the cradle. He wanted to say goodbye to him. He saw that the child is so thirsty, he's gone unconscious. He said, let me see if I can get some water for this baby. These enemies are here to kill me. Maybe they have this much passion. Maybe they will feel passionate and be able to give this child of mine some water, since this baby is not their enemy. The Imam took Ali ibn al-Asghar in front of the army. He put him above his head and said, oh people, if you will not forgive me, if you will not leave me, if you will not allow me to have some water, at least allow this child to have some water. Only a little bit of water will quench his thirst. If you don't trust me, you can take the child yourself and take him to the river and give him some water. The enemy could not do that. The cruelty, the qasawa that they had, which was much greater than that. Umar ibn Sa'd told Harmala, he told him, do you see this scene? What are you waiting for? Take one of your arrows. He said, which one should I get, the father or the son? He said, you see, under the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar, he took an arrow and shot the baby. Imam al-Hussein saw that the baby is not moving anymore. Blood is pouring down. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins. We ask Him to help us not have this trait of cruelty and qasawa. We ask Him to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.